Hi everyone, I'm Yan Chen from Louisiana State University, Ag Center, Hammer Research Station. The majority of my research focuses on ornamental and landscape horticulture, but since 2 years ago, we started a new direction, kind of like my sideline right now, which is very exciting. It's working with tea, Camellia sinensis, and today I'm going to talk about a consumer survey on tea, which is part of this team project. So Camellia sinensis, this is an evergreen shrub adapted to acidic soils from hardiness zone 7 to 10. And in that red circle, that's the part, the tender part is harvested for producing tea. And they all have white flowers that with ample pollen, which is a good food source for pollinators during late fall and winter. All teas are made from this one species. There are so many cultivars, but all teas are coming from this one species. Like some of the basic ones, the black, green, and oolong tea, jasmine, and also some of the less known teas. The difference is all depends on processing methodology. I have two examples here. The one on the top is two simple steps for making a sun-dried white tea from the bushes at the Hammer Research Station. And the pictures on the bottom are the most important three steps to make black tea. And here is the Black Magnolia, award-winning black tea made by the Great Mississippi Tea Company. With that said, tea consumption in the United States it has been giving us a very impressive $12 billion in 2016. This is a six-fold increase from the consumption in year of 2000. And most of this, almost all of this consumption are from importation. That makes U.S. the second largest tea importing country. And the Tea Association, American Tea Association, is a broker association. And they have this annual report on some of the trends and some of the important categories. So basically 80% of the tea we consume are as tea, 85% is black tea. And the green tea, bottle tea, and loose tea, these are all the categories of specific tea forms or products that we see an increase over the last 10 years and projected to be continually increased. And black tea demand is decreasing. And there is a renewed interest also in tea production in the U.S., especially on the continental U.S. Part of this, the majority of this, is the higher consumer demand. Also, there's an increased production cost in traditional tea-producing countries. The younger population, they don't want to work in a tea field. So that's kind of like we can see the price increase over the years because of that. Also, there's very important factor is the buy local, support local economy movement. That makes a lot of local specialty crop growers kind of like have the benefits from the new mentality that is to support local economy. And tea can be a very good alternative crop for citrus and blueberries or any crops that are, you know, adapted to acidic soils, and also to some of the annual crops like the vegetable growers as a perennial crop as a supplemental income. The U.S. tea production, very brief background on this. We have 16 states that have commercial tea production. Some of them are small, but we have five relatively large commercial tea farms right now. And most of these tea farms are from are located on the southeast side from that line. That black line shows the minimum precipitation, annual precipitation at 40 inches per year. That's almost the line that you can produce tea. In Louisiana, we have five tea farms so far. All of them are new, young farms, started a couple years ago. One just installed this year. But we learned a lot from the successful tea farms in the South, including the two large farms in Mississippi State, the Great Mississippi Tea Company in Brookhaven, Mississippi, and also the J&D Blueberry Farm in Poplarville. And that, those pictures shows the mature, when the plants get to mature, the size. Definitely for our Louisiana growers, production technology is challenging, but they can learn. It can be learned. Another concern is labor cost. There's still we are collecting data on that. We're analyzing that. But the most important thing for a new business, a new grower, is to understand local market, especially market demands, consumer preference. This directly affect their production and also their marketing plans. In last year, we were lucky. We were funded by a block grant, a specialty crop block grant, to conduct some very basic research on tea. Part of that is to better understand consumer purchasing preference and market demand, to give our growers some guidance on that. I have a poster to cover some of the other two other objectives on germplasm collection and also promoting tea through tea tasting classes and also grower workshops, and that's presented as poster number 776 if you're interested. We have the survey as a short survey and combine that with some of the questions developed from a relatively longer survey for a total of there's a total of 18 questions actually, so it's kind of like manageable. It's a two-page survey. We have two focused groups to start with the survey last year, and all participants were master gardeners. The group one, we had 210 survey conducted at some of the master gardeners' spring gardening forums and other events, and they were not given all the knowledge about U.S. tea production, consumption, and benefits, all those. They were not given that information when they did the survey. And the second group, we had 86 participants. They were given the survey after going through the tea tasting class. So the first question we ask is, what caffeinated beverage do you consume? We're going to go through some of the questions really quick. So basically, with this specific age group, there's 93% drink tea. This is a multiple choice question. They can choose, you know, from any of these, but the total combined tea has the highest. The second question is non-beverage tea product. In the past 6 months, which one of these did you consume? And the highest one, I'm sorry, it didn't really show. Oh, it showed better there. 37% is personal grooming products. I doubt there's a confusion with the tea tree oil, another species, still there are some supplemental weight loss products being purchased, which is very encouraging. And the next question was, how you expect changes in your tea consumption? So with group one, without knowing, you know, too much about tea and tea production, we have 19% that expect their tea consumption to increase. But with group two, after the tea tasting class, that we give them all the information, there's about 7% more that would like to drink more tea. And the next question was, where do you usually buy tea? So the highest one is retail market, supermarket. And there's advantage of this is there's so many different forms of tea being offered at these locations. There are bottled, loose leaf, or bagged, all kinds of tea. So it's definitely is the majority of the purchase are made from these venues. But still, it's encouraging to see that there's 21% from specialty tea and coffee shop, and there's also 6% from online, because these are other possible venues for our growers to sell their tea. The next question was, in what form do you usually buy tea? And basically, tea bag, bag tea, is still the most consumed purchased form in Louisiana, followed by ready-to-drink, and that loose-leaf tea, where most of our tea growers will sell in the future, there's only 19%. But still, it's still encouraging that people do purchase loose-leaf tea and brew their own tea. And in what form do you consume tea the most? So you buy different forms of tea, you have different forms of tea at home. Which form do you drink the most? And here, we still see the iced tea, is consumed the most, and then hot tea and ready to go. So this gives our grower kind of like a feeling that you do need to look at your tea sensory quality, your tea quality in terms of being brewed as hot tea and also as iced tea. You cannot just go through the professional tea tasting steps and only look at the hot tea sensory quality. You also need to look at your tea, how it tastes when it's iced. And how often do you consume tea? This is a frequency question. And for the iced tea, the consumption is more frequent. And for hot tea, it's definitely less frequent. If you look at that, the lavender, golden yellow, dark blue, and green, these are at least two or more. And what are the most important factors affecting your purchasing decision? And definitely quality. The flavor, appearance, smell, etc. And the next important one is availability. This is very important for our locally grown tea, for those growers. You have to make sure that people know your tea is available and what time of the year is available to your consumers. And cost, that's another important factor, and then some of the others. And the locally grown or the domestically grown, these are right after the cost. And where do you prefer your tea leaves to be grown? Most of the participants actually answer this question when they don't know there is a local supply. It's any origin, 70% any origin is fine. And when they're informed that possibly we're going to have a local supply, that's a group two. And definitely the local and domestic tea, both of them actually increased. So that awareness is very important. How likely are you to purchase certified organic or just sustainably produced tea? So for the certified organic, for our growers, there are a lot of restrictions, and it's very hard for someone just getting into tea business to start doing organic. So that's kind of like really the challenging part. So, but the message from this question is actually encouraging is that the perception from consumers is that certified organic may be more expensive. That's that was indicated in the next question. So they actually prefer sustainably produced. They're more likely to purchase a sustainably produced tea than the certified organic. And assuming imported tea are priced at $10, this is the willingness to purchase question. It's assuming an imported tea is priced at $10 per ounce, which is kind of the average market price. With the same quality, how much would you be willing to pay for the same amount of tea made from the tea leaves growing in the U.S.? So this question is a little bit tricky, but definitely we can see with the group two comparing to the group one, when they know they're available, when they know they're local growers, even the people they know about, that willingness shifted from, more of them are willing to pay more to purchase a locally grown tea. That's the lavender golden that they would like to pay more. So that's kind of like we fly through all the questions. This is just a quick summary, but the take-home message is that marketing strategies for local growers are kind of like case by case. Everyone's different, so they have to think about what niche market they can fit in. But definitely, from the information here, we hope they can have some help. And quality and availability are very critical, and they need to be. Make sure their supply is stable, their quality is stable, and it might be too early for our growers to do organic production, but the sustainable practice is definitely something they need to consider. And also something like the tea tasting class, or even social media or traditional media to promote the awareness of locally grown tea is very critical. I don't have time for questions.
Thank you very much.